Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Around the Kid, Drum Talk Radio. Here is your host, Joe Ganzes.
Hey guys, welcome back to Around the Kid, Drum Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joe Ganzes, and for the next 2 hours, we'll be talking drums, and if that's not enough, drum some more. Guys, we are live on this beautiful Sunday on the East Coast of America. Today is Sunday, May 15th, 2022, and we have a night of heavy metal madness. Two of the best in the genre at 8:30 p.m. from Queensryche, Casey Grillo, a living legend in the field in the 9:30 spot from Anvil, Rob O'Reina. We are live 563-999-3029. So much to talk about. We'll hear from our good friend Doug Miola in about 10 minutes. Guys, we've started the show on this outlet 223, 224, right around their shows, probably over 1,200 interviews now, almost 355 of the world's best drummers. We had some great, great interviews, some tremendous classic living legends, some who are no longer here. But we've always done it with passion and integrity. And tonight should be no different. But tonight is also a special night because it's the end, most likely the end of our time on Blog Talk Radio. And if you follow the show at times, Blog Talk is great. It cuts out this and that. Not always so kind to me and Around the Kid. has drove me crazy, has actually shut off one show about 3 years ago. So we've had some ups and downs on Blog Talk, but I'm very grateful for the time. Very grateful. I wanted to go back to December 6th, 2005. My first guest ever, Bill Zildjian.
Guys, that was the great Mr. Billy Cobham from a great day back in the 70s and early 80s, Zildjian Day. And that leads into my first guest ever on Around the Kit with Joe Ganzis. I am pumped up for this guy, Mr. Bill Zildjian. Bill,
good
Joe
evening.
Ganzis, Around the Kit. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are you, Joe?
Bill, it's an honor to talk to you. You are my first big guest, and hopefully one day we'll look back and say, wow, Bill Zildjian was Joe Ganzis' first guest. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Gosh, you know, that's for a while there, I was thinking it might be Max because of the tuning.
Right. It sounds like it. Yes.
Yeah, it does. And, yes, Billy is a friend. We did a show with him on a radio show that I do, and he talked about Max being a big influence on him.
Very cool to hear back my first guest ever. Wow, I was raw in your face, and not too bad for the first time. That was my first show, December 6, 2005. We've come a long way. Over 25 different sponsors. I want to talk a bit about the people who have worked on the show and the people who are on the show. Some back for like a second or third time. That's fine. We want to thank Jay Galen years ago, Rick Tejano. We want to thank the people who were on the show and who are back. And all three were on the show one time, pretty much the same time. John Bessie years ago used to do a segment called The Recording Drummer. John is back as the full-time producer. The lovely and beautiful and talented Laura Pepe Altieri is back as a segment writer. She's in charge of This Week in Drums, This Week in Drumming, and she's always done a kick-ass job. Always love her. I'm elated. I am ecstatic that Laura Pepe Altieri is back on the show. We've had a falling out. This happens in life. We're adults. You work things out. Maybe you get into a ring and we go at it, me and her. Maybe I give her a couple of jabs. Maybe she body slams me, but we're okay today. We are friends. So Laura Pepe Altieri is back with This Week in Drumming, and we are pumped. Just love everything about her. And I say thank you for coming on board again. And a guy who's been vital, instrumental in the show, done over 100 behind the kits, Doug Miola is back. And Doug will be doing a segment on the show as a segment writer for a segment called The Spotlight Drummer, where we spotlight a drummer, maybe talk about it a little bit, something like This Week in Drumming, but a little different. So he'll be doing The Spotlight Drummer. So we have John Besser back and the producer, and John's just doing a kick-ass job. And where does that lead me now to my next comments? Tonight is most likely our last show on Blog Talk, and we've had a great run. We're going to be live on YouTube, and I just got goosebumps saying that because we've done so much work. And in the next 2 weeks, we have a lot of work to do. We're almost ready. We're getting there. Very close. We've been working on promos and bits, and, you know, we've been doing little segments and making mistakes, and it's always good to make the mistakes before you go live. So we're working. John got a professional studio working with a cool green screen backgrounds, really, really pumped up. And I think the show deserves this after 7 years. We hope the listeners and the followers will give us a chance, get to see my face now. If that's a good thing, a bad thing, that's up to you guys. But you'll see me and the guest. You'll see the commercials, and you'll see This Week in Drumming. You'll see the Spotlight Drummer. All live on YouTube. So we're just pumped for that. So excited. It's a lot of work. We're going to make this sort of like a show, like a TV show, a music show, not just really interviews. We have the segments, and we're going to be cutting to videos, and John's got a lot of work, but if there's anybody I trust, and I'm not big on that word when it comes to stuff that, you know, I created. John has full autonomy in the show, full control of what we do, and just really, really is a big part of what we do now. So look for the stuff, look for the promos and the commercials next 2 weeks on social media, on my page, Around the Kid. We're just pumped up for Around the Kid going live. 2 weeks, video live stream show on YouTube. We hope to see you all there. Let's play a little spot from our main sponsor, 1010 Symbol.
Around the Kid is sponsored by 1010 Symbols. 1010 Symbols is quickly becoming the choice for drummers worldwide. With their roots going back to the emperors of the Qing Dynasty, 1010 blends the best of old world know-how with modern techniques to help all drummers find the best fit for them. Whether you're an avid drumming enthusiast or touring professional, 1010 has the perfect combination of products, pricing, and service to fit any drummer's needs. Contact them today to find out what the drum love is really all about. 1010 Symbols. Forge your sound.
Hey guys, as I promised 2 weeks ago, I wanted to bring their guy responsible for bringing the show into a new light. A tremendous drumming talent, great producer, engineer, a friend of mine for many years, the great John Besser. John, what's up, brother?
Hey, Joe, how are you? What's up, everybody?
John, as the new producer of the show, what are we getting in a John Besser?
Well, aside from me being a drummer for a long time, I'm also a recording engineer and a music producer. I've been doing recordings and tracking bands and artists since the 90s. I also do video editing, and I've made music videos and short films and done commercial jingles and all that type of stuff. And I've always loved the show. And so, you know, I always want to help you any way I can. And so finally I've convinced you that we could do this video, and now we're going to do this live stream. It's going to be awesome.
John, as the producer of the show, what will be different now that we're doing the video live stream rather than the radio?
Well, for one, the audience is finally going to get to see your handsome face, and we'll also get to see guests' faces, and we'll get to see the roundtable's faces, well, if they want to, that is. And also, we're going to have some new segments and, you know, just a couple of different things. I mean, it's still going to be the same show, but now with the visual element, hopefully it enhances what you've been doing with the show for the past 7 years, and hopefully doesn't hurt it and only makes it better and more entertaining. At least that's what I hope.
John, we thank you for coming on board tonight. We will see more of John in the future, and we'll see all his great work on our live stream show, our first show in 2 weeks, May 29th, on YouTube.
And now, back to Around the Kid with Joe Ganzes.
We are live, 563-999-3029. I'm so happy that John came on board tonight for a couple of words. I wanted to bring him on just to talk about the elements, what we'll be doing tonight, not just tonight, but the show. Very pumped up. He has a big part of what we're doing. And it's good to throw those ideas off of people, you know, especially somebody who has the same passion and the work ethic and times. And we're not alike. We're a lot alike in things. They're not. We are. But one thing we're alike in is just, you know, putting the time in, putting the work in. And John is just tremendous. He'll be up all night working on stuff. He'll text me 2 a.m. I got an idea. Or like this morning, I was actually shaving, and I called him with an idea. And then I called him 2 minutes later with a different idea. So we're just happy that John Besser is aboard. We are live, 563-999-3029. I wanted to bring by a guy who's been part of the show and is back for a segment writer again. Welcome back to the show, the great Doug Miola. Doug, Joe Gins, you're on the kit. What's up, brother?
Hey, Joe. How's it going? Good to talk to you.
What is up, guys? The great Doug Miola. How you doing, bro? What's going on, kid?
I'm doing lessons today, so I'm just kind of jumping in between. Sorry I'm a few minutes late. Just doing some teaching and always drumming, so it's good to hear the show is back on a regular schedule.
Yeah, we are pumped up, man, pumped up. Guys, great Doug Miola. I wanted to start off by saying we both know Dom Famularo, and he's going through something. I posted on my page, and people were so nice with their well wishes. Somebody had called me, says his surgery went well, so now he's going through the motions, but just trying to really beat that pancreatic cancer. But I got to tell you, Doug, if there's anybody out there with the spirit and the positive attitude that can do this, I got to say it's him.
Yeah, he's got so much energy, you know, and I'm praying that he has a speedy and quick recovery. You know, it's never easy to get news like that. So I know he's got a lot of people behind him, and we'll wish him the best recovery he can have.
Yeah, we wish the best to Don Famularo. I wanted to bring you aboard tonight because me and you have a lot of background in so many different genres, but I think we have a lot to do in the metal world. We're big metal heads like other types of music. And tonight we got two of the best, Casey Griller from Queensryche and the legend Rob Reiner from Anvil. You know, where are you today with the classic metal, you know, going back to metal on metal and stuff like that from Anvil? You know, they're on their 19th album that just came out, you know, a couple months ago, Impact is Imminent. Where are you in the metal genre today compared to years ago? You think it's come a long way? Is it what you thought it would be?
Yeah, you know, I guess it's one of those things where when you and I were starting out as drummers, like, you know, I remember when I first started playing drums, you know, you were getting into like the, you know, Judas Priest, and then, you know, things started getting heavier with like, you know, Megadeth and Anthrax and then Slayer. And I guess when you're in it, you really don't think about like how's the longevity, where's this going to be in 50 years, right? I don't think in those teenage years, you're not thinking that far ahead. But, you know, as we've experienced all these different genres kind of coming in from, you know, the metal stuff, and then, you know, getting into grunge and how things have changed, you know, in the last 30 years. You always hope that, you know, that you're going to have this legacy of bands. And I think playing with different bands and different genres, you know, going through the 90s and the early 2000s, I've played a lot of different styles of music. And I think I'm kind of surprised that there's been, you know, such a resurgence of these bands, you know, that have continued to keep going even when, you know, maybe metal or hard rock wasn't in the commercial flavor, you know? And
right.
Like watching Rob with the Anvil documentary, like just watching them just keep going, you know, going through all the adversity. It's pretty awesome to see that these bands are having a resurgence and having, you know, such great shows and support.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm going to talk about that with Rob. I mean, he's been on the show a couple times already, and we always thank his time. We are live 563-999-3029. The tremendous drummer himself, and great, great writer and talented, just all around the great Doug Miola. You know, when I think of metal, if somebody had asked me to describe metal in one band, I got to go to Judas Priest. Now, I know metal has changed. I just think of Priest as, when I think of heavy metal, I think of Priest. If there's one band, what's the one band for you? My friends have Sabbath up there, but I just think of heavy metal, Judas Priest. How about you?
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you say that, because when I hear those words, heavy metal, the first thing that comes to my mind is Rob Halford and the band, the album cover. I'm trying to remember which album it was. And
with all the studs,
that's just studs. Synonymous with the term, you know?
Yeah, you see him with you see that image. You see Priest with the leather and the studs and the Harley Davidson. You know, I just I got friends that say, you know, Sabbath was metal. I mean, I guess, but I just think of, you know, don't forget, Priest was out in 68, in the early 70s, too. So they go back 50 years already. So they're out there just as long as Sabbath almost. I just always had this picture in my head as Judas Priest. You know, if there's a term in the dictionary that says heavy metal, I think Priest should be next to that. Just my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I think, too, a lot of it comes down to, you know, the imagery. When I was a teenager, everything was visual with MTV, right? So it's just kind of like that classic title, and then you just have that visual, and that impression sticks with you, you know? And obviously lots of bands have come along and taken it to different levels and different styles, but yeah, I think Priest is probably, in my opinion, synonymous with that term, you know?
We're fortunate on June 26th to have two legends on the show. We have the great Liberty DeVito back and Les Binks, a favorite amongst people who love Priest. Do you have a favorite Priest drummer? There's guys like Alan Moore, Les Binks, Dave Holland, rest in peace, Simon Phillips did the Sin After Sin album. You got Scott Travis. Do you have a favorite in the Priest world of drummers?
Well, I think, you know, when you look at the classic Priest that I got familiar with, Dave was the drummer for most of that stuff. And then, you know, it's like, to me, those grooves like Living After Midnight and that whole British Steel album, that's like classic Priest to me. But a good friend of mine grew up knowing Scott Travis and knew him when he got his gig. And I think Scott, as a technical drummer, did a really good job of kind of combining the original intent of the drum parts with his own, you know, showmanship and his technique that I think elevated the band a little bit, you know. Obviously, Simon Phillips is tremendous, but, you know, maybe too technical for Priest, you know.
Right, yeah.
You know, it's like it's all in your approach, right? So, but I think Travis probably sits in there as a great fit, you know?
Yeah, and we look back already. Scott Travis is in Judas Priest 33 years already. I mean, you think about that. Either that's cool or me and you are getting old.
Yeah, well, that's it. It's like when you look at the years and you're like, what? That was 30 years? That was 50 years? What?
I know.
it's hard to, like, it's hard to be in real time and look back and think that much time has passed, you know? It's crazy, you know, but of course Les did his thing that kind of the band. So, you know, who knows without him what they would have sounded like, you know?
Right. Where are you with the, you know, there's heavy metal and then there's the thrash metal, And even the speed metal, you know. Listen, you know me on this show. We've had guys that can play 20 BPMs on double bass or 300 BPMs. So I love anybody who picks up a pair of sticks. Not a big fan of the speed metal, but you know, maybe you are. Where do you fit in with that? You know, is that something you listen to, or is that your taste? You know, the real heavy fast stuff.
Yeah. Well, I have some drummers that I teach that are really into that kind of thing.
Right.
personally for me, I appreciate when I see a drummer playing, you know, that crazy double bass like that. I'm like, that
right.
is an amazing technical feat. And I almost call it like Olympic style drumming, right? It's so physical.
Yeah.
But my personal opinion is if things don't have pockets of space, if you're on, you know, if you're on 10 from the beginning, there's no range
right.
to go. So after like three or four songs, you're like, is there ever going to be a break, you know? So,
right. yeah.
you know, I think a lot of the metal bands do it tastefully, you know, where they'll have a lot of like cool syncopation and the double bass, you know, patterns aren't going full on the whole way. To me, that just gives the music more of an energy when you have those ebbs and flows. But,
yeah,
you know, some of these drummers, man, they just go blast beat the whole way through, and it's a ride, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Doug, we talked today. We're going to have you back on as most likely doing a spotlight drummer. We are pumped for that. So, you know, we'll talk about that. But real fast, this is our last show, man. And I just want to take this time to always thank you, man. We've talked, and I cannot thank you. How do I love somebody who I've never met, really, who I've never got a chance to shake your hand, even though we have some history back in the clubs in Jersey, but we've never come really together, and you come dialed in, man. You've always been there for me, and I always want you involved. I wanted to say thank you for the past 7 years on this outlook, man, on this spot. It's been great.
Yeah, well, you know, I think, you know, that brotherhood of drummers, you know, I mean, when
yeah.
When two people, you know, when we have a mutual respect for one another, and you're doing something that's always been so great for the drumming community, and you know, me as a drummer and an educator, I want to get as many people interested in drums and drumming as I can. You know, especially nowadays with technology and stuff, the more physical drummers we have, we can see that going into the future. And I think for you to give, you know, give a spotlight and a voice to a lot of these drummers that, you know, we've known for a long time, to hear their stories and to hear, you know, all the things that they've done and do that we don't know personally, you know, it's just such a great opportunity. So I've always been excited for what you do and, you know, happy to do whatever I can to help support it. So I'm grateful for that too.
Good, brother. We are going live in 2 weeks on the video live stream, just pumped up on YouTube. I'll talk to you before then, but guys, the great Doug Miola. Doug, thanks for coming on tonight and give us so much time. It's always a pleasure, and we'll talk to you soon, my brother.
You got it, Joe. Have a great show tonight. I'll be listening, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, guys. The great Doug Miola. Have a great night, bro.
Thanks, Joe. You too. Talk to you soon.
Great stuff. I'm not sure I could ever thank him, you know, I should. I mean, the guy's given me so much in the past 7 years, so much time and passion and effort. Just so happy and thankful. We are live. 563-999-3029. Let's get a little word from our we're not going to play that now. We're going to wait for Casey. But, yeah, just always actually had my fiance's cousin, little daughter, come downstairs. And live. You know, I love live. Live is great. We are live, 563-999-3029. So 2 weeks on the live stream. So pumped up, excited. Got some work to do. We got Laura Pepiatiri back, Doug Miola back. We got John Besser back. It's like a lost family back, but they're all great at what they do. Tremendous. I think we've done about 1,200 interviews here, 355 of the world's best drummers. I think today is show 220. I'm sorry, 225, somewhere around there. I got to check the website, but just all the sponsors, we appreciate it. We're looking forward to that next chapter. So hopefully we're praying it goes good. A lot of work to do, but I think we're ready for the work. You know, I think guys like myself and Doug and Laura, and also going to have a drummer by the name of Luke Matheson. Luke will be doing our social media, so we are pumped up for that. Always great stuff. Guys, we are live, 563-999-3029. Wow, how I love this drummer. Of course, it's my favorite band of all time. If you know Joe Ganzis, I love so many different genres, but Queensryche is always my band. Let's play something from another friend of the show who is involved in the Operation Mindcrime album, the great Pamela Moore, in 2018 released a great album called Behind the Veil. It's a great track called Wi-Fi Zombies with the tremendous Casey Grillo on drums.
And now, back to Around the Kid with Joe Ganzes.
Guys, we are back, 563-999-3029. Great track there from Pamela Moore. Gives me great pleasure to welcome back to Around the Kid Drum Talk Radio, the tremendous Casey Grillo. Casey, what's up, brother?
Hey, how you doing, Joe? Great to hear your voice, man.
How you doing, guys? The great Casey Grillo. How you doing, brother? What's going on, kid?
I'm doing good, man. How about you?
Oh, we are pumped up. We got two of the best in metal tonight, you and your the great Rob Rhino from Anvil later on. How you been, bro? How's it going? I know you're in the middle of a tour. How's that going with Queensryche right now in the tour?
It's been great, man. We've been we were just out with Judas Priest for a month and a half, and now we're doing fly dates. We got a couple weeks off before we head out again, but it's been absolutely amazing. You know, the fans have been great, and shows have been great, so can't complain.
Was that your first time interacting with Priest on tour?
I've done some festivals with them when I played with Camelot, but as far as like a full tour, yeah. And the guys had already gone out with them before in the past, but that was our first time. My first time with doing a full tour with them. It was amazing, great people, and just a great time.
How is it to watch that machine they call Scott Travis every night?
Yeah, Scott's amazing, man. Just a solid drummer and not super nice guy as well. He actually came up to me the first night, and I was warming up for the gig, and he surprised me, come up behind me and tapped me on the shoulder. And very nice guy. You know, we got to become friends, through the tour, and it was always amazing to sit there and watch him play. So just amazing drummer. Love him.
Let's stay right there, because you've been doing this for many years already. Definitely a big-time veteran in the world of metal, from Camelot to working with Pamela Moore to Queensryche. I think about 5 years now in Queensryche or so. Can you learn something, even on a short tour, if it's 5, 10, 20 gigs with a certain band? Can you learn something? Can you take away something from that band that will help you in the future?
Absolutely. I mean, you always learn, something from like guys like that. Even if it's just how they operate, how they treat people, before or after the show. That's a machine. I mean, the Judas Priest camp, everybody in there is like they've been there for a while, working with the band, and all of them are such great people, the crew, everybody there. And I haven't really taken away information that we had, going on through the whole thing. So, and now touring with the whole COVID thing, it was a bit different, of a tour because of, everything you had to, all the rules you had to do. And, I can't complain about anything. Those guys were so great to us, and it was a great experience. And yeah, I took away a lot from that tour. So
good, brother. Good. We are live with the tremendous Casey Grillo, 563-999-3029. 5 years or so now in the legendary Queensryche, and great stuff. Couple of albums that you've been there that has come out for the band, and you've been, playing with them. I think you're playing the drums on the new album, correct?
That's correct. Yep.
Oh, great. Love it. Playing all these songs, there's such a wide variety, a big catalog. What's always been the main thing for you, even going back to like the EP and the Warning and Rage and on, what's always been the main recipe for you when you're playing these songs to honor the band?
I'm trying to cop the feel that Scott has. you know, I'm trying to be a chameleon with it, you know, because, I mean, you know, I've got the meat there, but which is, you know, Eddie Jackson playing bass. He's the solid ground of the whole thing, you know, for drum and bass, you know, and
yeah.
So I really have to try to, I really want to try to do, you know, do the songs justice, you know, like they should be, you know, sometimes it's hard to get, you know, when you're digging stuff off these older records, you know, like to try to try to hear exactly what's going on, because, you know, as a drummer, you might be ghosting a little something and you don't hear it. It's just there, you know, you can feel it, but you can't hear it.
Right.
And so it's hard to pick up on stuff like that. I was kind of lucky on a couple things that, Whip gave me some tracks of you know, drums by themselves or off the new record, off the newer records, you know, which was a little easier to get that stuff down, because when you have all the little nuances, it's easier. So, but it's, you know, I've really, you know, I try to, you know, every now and then something of myself will slip in there, you know, but, you know, it's kind of part of being a drummer, you know, you gotta keep yourself a little bit in there, you know, but, I try to do the songs as much justice as I can, you know, try to keep them, even, you know, to where they were live, you know, even just a few years ago, you know, I try to keep it going.
Yeah. I think that certain songs, certain bands, and maybe like a Queensryche, take a song like, you know, you could throw your own stuff in there, but I think sometimes it's got to stay true. Like the part that many drummers do wrong, the beginning of Eyes of a Stranger, where that marriage, that connection with the hi-hat and ride cymbal, you probably played it 100 times or more already, you know, that's got to be there. So you can't really alter stuff like that, but I'm sure there's times where you could just, you know, here's a spot or some space, you know, to put that little Casey Grillo, you know, taste in it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, there's signature stuff you can't change, you know. Bills that, you know, that I grew up listening to, and you know, it's there. It's part of the song. It's not like, the drums, those parts are, you know, you can sing them, you know. So if it's singable, you got to play it. You know, it's definitely part of the song. So, but occasionally I will sneak my own stuff in there. You know.
Yeah. Anything we could talk about the new album is Mum's the Word, and anything how it's going to be, like, you know, any kind of listen, like, you know, feel or whatever.
I'd rather wait.
Okay.
I mean,
I get it.
It's I had a great time doing it, and I think we're all excited about it, you know. That's something I'm going to leave up to the other guys to do.
I respect that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, let's stay there for a second, because I always like to get into the mind and the heads of, you know, my guests and the greats like you. Talk a bit about, you know, you came into the band because the original drummer who was there for 30 years is no longer there. Talk to me about, and I gotta ask this because you just never know in life. You hope it never happens, but let's just say a scenario comes in 3 or 4 months from now. You get a phone call and say, listen, Casey, it's been great. We're gonna bring Scott back. You know, is it? You think it'd be bitterness? You think it would be? You'd welcome it? You know, how would that be if it ever happened, you think?
I mean, I'm just sitting. I'm here, you know, filling in. So it's you know, I don't. It would be whatever. It is what it is. I mean, you can't. Can't say what's going to happen in the future. So, but
yeah.
I mean, it's. It is what it is. So what, you know, whatever happens in the future. I mean, you know, you can't, you never know what's going to happen. I mean, that's, you know, like,
right,
you know, when I got the phone call to to fill in like over 5 years ago. Sure. I mean, I had no idea that call was going to come, you know, just it was out of left field. And I'm still sitting here doing, doing what I did 5 years ago. And,
right.
And it's keeping everything moving, you know, like, you know, cause they're good friends of mine and I want to, you know, keep the train working, you know, that's what you got to do. So, I mean, that's all I'm here to do. You know, I mean, there's so many things in my life that go on. So it's just like when COVID hit, we had no idea we'd be out of work for a year and a half, you know? So,
right,
I mean,
right.
That's never happened in my lifetime, you know, like playing drums, you know, like, you know, I've been doing it for like 35 years or so. And I'm like, I'd never taken more than a week and a half, 2 weeks off, you know? So that was like, wow, you know, anything can happen. So, and that's the way I treat life. It's like, dude, I'm just here breathing air and playing drums, and that's the best thing in the world for me. So.
Yeah, I was going to get to that. I'm going to talk to the great Casey Grillo, 563-999-3029, because when you were on before, COVID, about a year before COVID. Now you're back about a year after, and maybe it's still coming and going. But, you know, I talked to drummers and guests. I remember talking to the great Kenny Arnoff, and Kenny was just like, I can't explain this, what's going on. It's never happened to me. Like you just said, what was really going on? You know, I mean, no touring. What was the mindset, you know, in your eyes? You have other things going on with the Drumhead Company and your artwork. But as far as gigs, you know, what was the thought process for you going on?
Well, the Drumhead Company stopped, obviously, because nobody was playing. So there was not everything. It come to a screeching halt, which just was really weird. I mean, not getting emails or orders or anything. For me though, I kind of welcome I like the whole idea of me and my wife being able to be at home and relax together and just enjoy life. You know, it was kind of like I could do that. You know, it was like I could do this.
Yeah.
You know, I enjoyed it, man. It was, you know, it was actually a really nice time of year. In Florida,
yeah.
So we biked a lot. We sat out by the pool. It was amazing. It was. I'm not gonna lie to you. I was like, I could get used to it. You know, it's like this is nice.
Yeah.
And then you know we obviously Florida opened up a lot sooner than everybody else. And I actually started doing local gigs. Before I went out on the road with Queensryche, I was doing local gigs every now and then when I was in town from Camelot. So, you know, just to keep the chops up and just in, you know, play. And so I was doing that, and it was like, oh, this is cool, you know, whatever, you know, back with my friends and, you know, my local people. And you know, they're all outside gigs, and they had really weird, you know, rules and stuff where you couldn't dance or whatever, you know, you couldn't get up from your table if you had a beer, stuff like that. But,
right.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it was almost like a vacation I never had because I've always been working, you know,
right.
I started touring when I was 16. So, you know, I never, after that, you know, when I started, I never stopped. So I actually enjoyed it. But I wasn't, you know, of course I was worried about, you know, well, after 6 months, I was like, all right, this is kind of weird, you know, and nothing was given up and you know, nothing was happening. Like, it didn't look like we were going to tour. And after a year, I'm like, wow, okay, this is, you know, you start looking at your bank account going, okay, when is this going to end? Because, you know, I got to get back to work. So, that's pretty much the mindset. But then, you know, I started doing, like you said, the paintings and stuff and, eventually Drumheads came back in and stuff like that. So, you know, it worked out. But in the end, it's like I said before, whatever happens, happens. You can't control it. You know, that's the thing.
Right, yeah.
That's the way I just thought about life. It's just going to happen. Whatever happens, happens. So.
Yeah. you know, you're playing with your friends in the local cover bands and the local gigs. You're touring with Queensryche on these big venues. Has it always been important from the kid, for the kid from Oklahoma, to treat every musician the same?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I grew up in a very, well, I'll say poor family. So anything I get from playing music is like just, you know, I can't even believe I get paid to do this. I won't tell guys that, but I mean, when I meet other guys, as long as the musicians are cool, you know, if people are cool to you, you know, I'm going to treat them as cool as they are to me, you know. But you know, if I see somebody needs help or like a, you know, some guidance in music or life, or, you know, if they're a musician and they don't know what they're, you know, where to go next, you know, I love helping people out or treating them with respect, you know. Always, you know, I always like other musicians. It's just, even if whatever music they play, you know, doesn't matter, you know.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of artists in that I make drumheads for, that of all genres of music, from country to pop to Latin, you know, you name it. I've made drumheads for those people, and they became really great friends, you know. And it's always nice to meet those people. So,
absolutely, yeah, great stuff. You know, we've talked on your first time on the show, going back to your childhood and, you know, Camelot and being a sort of this prodigy growing up. Where are you right now in your career? I think you're 46 years old. Am I correct? You're 46?
That's what it says on the internet.
Yeah.
I'm actually older than that. Yeah. You know, I've never even said it before, but I'm 50 now. So I don't know how they got born 74 or whatever it was.
You reached the big 50.
Yeah, I was born in 71. We'll put it out there right now. So I'm way older than everybody thinks. And I feel like I look like that. I'm way older than that too. But so I was actually born. It's wrong, you know. Believe everything.
Yeah, okay.
Is what I say on the internet.
Right.
Especially when it comes to my age. But I mean, I'm older than what it says. I hope they don't correct it, because I'd like to stay young forever.
Welcome to the big 50. I will be 53 in next week. Talk to me about you know that. Even that, bro. I mean, when I turned 53 years ago, it didn't bother me. It really didn't. I've been playing drums 40 years next month, and I've never played better. I've never felt better. Talk to me about that. You know, me and you were 50, 53, right around almost the same age, born in 69, 71. Talk to me about you know, your journey and where you are today, not with Queensryche, not with the cover band. Where is Casey Grillo today in Casey Grillo's mind?
As a player, I probably relax a lot more than I did when I was a kid, you know, or younger, I should say. If I could go back and tell myself, hey, look, just ease up a little bit, you know, not like playing, you know, like busy wise, but just, you know, hold the sticks a little lighter, do this, you know, whatever. Then, you know, I relax a little bit more when I play, and I think things come out easier. It just happens, you know. As a person, I'm very happy in my life. I'm really busy right now. I mean, it's kind of been nonstop, which is great. You know, if I could, you know, like I said, you know, when we were down for a year and a half, I would have loved to have done this much work. But now it's kind of like, you know, no sleep, work all the time, you know, trying to run a business and still play at the same time. So I'm extremely happy with how things have gone, and playing wise, I think I'm doing, you know, I just try not to mess up, you know, I try to do my gig as good as I can every night, you know.
Well, listen, if you're on a road somewhere and you get tired that night, I probably know the whole Queensryche catalog. Just give me a call, and I'll come in that night. I'll give you a break for one night.
Nice. That would be awesome.
You could sit there, have a couple of beers, and watch me play.
Hell yeah. I'd love that.
You'd love
it's
that.
It's a fun gig, man. It's a fun gig, you know.
Oh, yeah. It's my sure. band. It's been my band since 82. I know. Ugh.
And you know, and
cool stuff.
There's nothing like having Eddie and Michael look back at you while you're playing, and I'm going, wow, I used to be on the other side watching this show, you know, and it's amazing. It's really you know, I have to pinch myself, you know, I really do, and
yeah,
I'm really thankful for everything, you know that's happened. So it's been a journey and a lot of fun, and you know, just hanging on like on a roller coaster, so.
Life is good with Casey Grillo. Life is good. We are live 563-999-3029. I was getting to that question a couple more. You know, Queensryche has had some changes over the years. Two of the guys are still there. And really, a big foundation. How has that been to work with these the consummate professionals? You just said they look back at you and you feel you feel great when you look back. But talk to me about working with these two consummate professionals. You know, what is that every night?
Man, I can't say enough about, you know, Michael and Eddie. They're great friends now. You know, I met them several years back at NAMM at the music convention in L.A. And back then I was just a fan. I seen him and I actually worked with Mike Stone on a few records before you know, he came back with Queensryche, and I mean the two guys, not just those two guys, but everybody else in the band too, and they're just amazing to work with. I mean, like, we joke around more than we do anything else, and a lot of people don't see that stuff happening, you know. They don't, we don't, we're pretty quiet, you know, as we don't let, it's not that we don't let stuff like that out. It's just, we're very, you know, we're a quiet bunch of guys. We don't, you know, whatever. We don't, you know, we like to joke around a lot.
Yeah.
So it's just a constant, you know, fun time. It's fun, you know, and I really enjoy it. I mean, the guys couldn't be any nicer to work with,
yeah.
You know. Like we were somebody was saying the other day that they said, is working with Michael and Eddie like what Prince was? Are you not allowed to, like, look at him or talk to him or something like that? And I'm like going, are you crazy? It's so, you know, it's totally the opposite way, you know. It's like, you know,
yeah.
These guys are... It's a brotherhood. I mean, they're just, you know, they're like, they're family to me now. It's, you know, it is what, you know.
Right.
Just, you know, I would do anything for them. So, and we have a lot of fun, you know. We goof off a lot. I mean, even on stage, there's some funny stuff that we do behind the scene you don't see. And it cracks me up. And I have to stay like a stone-faced. I'm sitting here dying laughing, you know. But, yeah, but that's. You know, it's just a lot of fun. That's all I got to say about it.
Yeah, you just mentioned something that I just got sick from. Somebody in Prince, they can't look at Prince. How would, and you just mentioned the exact opposite, working with these two legends in the metal field. You know, I can't even imagine not, you know, to be in that environment, being in an environment with Eddie and Michael. But it's got to, even though things are serious, you're goofing around, that's got to be good for you. It's got to be good for your playing. It's got to make you a better player.
Oh, yeah. I go out there wanting to make, you know, I don't think about trying to not impress anybody, but trying to make anybody happy except for my buddies in the band. I just want them to go off stage going, this guy's a solid drummer, and he does his job.
Yeah.
And that's what I want them to think. You know, that's what, you know, that's what I'm here to do. I'm you know, I'm a drummer. It's, you know, every band I played in, I'm like, okay, I want them to be happy that they chose me to do the job. So, I mean, that's what I, you know, sure, I'm going to mess up. I'm going to do whatever, something's going to happen or whatever. But, you know, for the most part, I try to make them as happy as I can because of that reason. Because I know we joke around, we have, you know, they're the coolest guys I know. They're awesome. I love them. You know, they're good friends.
Yeah,
so,
cool.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Where are we as, you know, we talk so much about this band and this band and, you know, what's our favorite. I think we spoke last, you were in the band a couple of years. Now you're in the band about 5 years or so, you know, and you play these songs every night. Do you have a favorite? I mean, is it one song that comes, you play, it's like I'm playing Eyes of a Stranger again, or I'm playing maybe The Prophecy if he's played that live, or Take Hold. Is there one song that just does it for you?
There's The Whisper is really odd for me. It's a really cool.
Nice.
It's not a typical drum groove. Yeah, it's very different.
Sure.
So I like playing the weird stuff. You know, the stuff that, you know, to make it really happen right, you got to work on it quite a bit. Or you know, it's just a different feel. I like playing that one. We just started playing again. We started playing The Warning, which is a lot of fun to do. Yeah. There's so many, you know, and you know, obviously Eyes of the Stranger. You know, like when we played Eyes of the Stranger, like in we play it every night, but in Nashville, right? And I just remember we were opening up for Priest, and I remember like the arena that we were in. I had a gig. I used to live in Nashville back in the 90s, early 90s.
Okay.
And I remember I played at a gig. There was a Holiday Inn or something. I was playing with a Top 40 band, and I had that, you know, I had Operation Mindcrime, and I was listening to it like all the time, you know. And I remember I was like, man, just down the street, you know, when I was a teenager, I was listening to that record, you know. So it kind of brought back all those memories. Just playing that song, you know, had a little bit of a goosebump moment. But, yeah, so that's a good one. But I think all of them, really. But The Whispers are like a lot of fun to play. So.
Yeah, you mentioned The Whisper, and I played in a band years ago. And there's not really, you know, we always talk about that connection with a certain, there's not really that marriage with the hi-hat and bass drum because it's a little off, but there is a connection there. It's, even though it's off, it's not a particularly difficult song to play, but like you said, it's a little challenging, and I think me and you are alike. I like stuff like that where, you know, you hear some boom, 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 and the hi-hat's doing something different. What a great song to play, my God, just a tremendous song.
Yeah.
Oh, love it.
Yeah, it's just
good
one
stuff,
of those.
Man.
Yeah, it's just different. It's not your average, you know, drum beat, you know. So, which is really cool, I think. So, but
good, man.
Yeah, very, very cool song. Yeah,
great stuff. Live with the great Casey Grill. A couple more with him, and I can't thank you for your time. You're always so nice to me, and just you always bring it. Let's go back a little bit again. From Oklahoma, early age on, you know, you've played with so many great musicians, you've given so much to these musicians. Casey Grillo, what in return have all these musicians you've played with given back to you?
Oh, man, you know, like a lot of respect. I mean, a lot of, you know, everybody that I've worked with in the past, you know, I've got some amazing friends. I don't have any enemies. They're all my buddies, you know. All the Camelot guys, you know, I talk to them quite a bit. I'm making some drum heads for Camelot this week, actually. So, but, you know, it's just, you know, the respect from people and, you know, to know that they're all still friends. Like if I needed something, I could call on them, or if they needed something, they could call me or whatever. So, when you've done a long time and you know, it's always like a reoccurrence too. Like I'll get, you know, they'll either say, "Hey, I need you for this thing," or, you know, they'll refer you to other people too as well. And that's kind of the biggest thing I think from good friends in the music business is you're getting referred to other people, and it keeps you moving, you know. That's
yeah, absolutely.
You can't, it's amazing, you know.
It's always good to get a call from someone like Pamela Moore. That album is just kick-ass, my brother. I mean, from you and her and everybody, that was a kick-ass piece of work. My God.
Thanks. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Yeah, Pamela's such a sweetheart. You know, it was fun to do that record. That was right before, actually, I started playing with Queensryche. So it was kind of a bit, it's funny how that worked out. But, yeah, and we'd always talked about doing something together. Pamela and I, you know, and it just happened where it was in the right time and I can't remember what I was not doing at the time. I think I was off the road with Camelot and just had the time to do it. But yeah, it's a fun record, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Talk to me about the art gallery and you know, what's going on that with you. Are we still doing that? Is that something you have time for these days?
Yeah, I've kind of taken a break a little bit, but I'm thinking about doing a limited run on a smaller piece that's going to be really affordable, like something like $65 or something, you know.
So
I'm, you know, like a small 8x10 or something, and a limited run of like, you know, maybe 20, 30 of them or something. So I'm thinking about doing that. It's just a matter of time. I haven't really sat down and painted in a while, but it's just because we've been moving since December. You know, the end of December I started. You know, well, even earlier than that because we did all the writing and stuff for the new record for the past. You know, while the pandemic was going on, but. Started recording in January and then just nonstop until the end of the Priest run. And then, once we got off that, I think we had like 4 or 5 days off and then we did some fly dates and come back home 3 days off, fly date, you know, and finally this month I've had, you know, a couple weeks off. So, but, I'll start back again. I love painting. It's something I've just started doing, so I just like doing it. I don't know if I'm any good at it or not, you know. It's like it just happens, and if it looks okay and people like it, that's all that's good, you know. It's all that matters, I guess.
Yeah, I see some of your work and it's really cool. You know, we always want to say, is there any similarities? I don't know, but painting and then drumming on stage, 20,000 people, got to be just a 360. But are there any similarities? Are there any? Maybe yes or no. Are there any similarities to holding a brush in your hand or two sticks in your hand?
Probably not.
Probably not.
I mean, there are. I'm sure, you know, it's still an art form, right?
Right.
But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, really, that's a crazy question. You know, you even think about it, but I mean, for me, like painting is like, it's kind of, I don't know what the outcome is going to be, you know?
Yeah.
And playing drums,
yeah.
I can go, okay, this is what I know I need to do. I haven't gotten there with painting yet. You know what I mean? It's like, I know what I can do, but and what I can't do, you know. So with drumming, it's, you know, like I know what needs to happen at the end of the night. You know, I need to come off the stage and be really happy. Painting is just, you know, I mean, there's been paintings I've done that went, yep, going to repaint that thing. That's, you know, just wipe it and start over again, you know, and like and spend an hour or two. But, you know, for me, like, I won't be mad at myself if the painting doesn't work. Now, at the end of the night, if I didn't play good or something, you know, major happens, you know, I'm not going to be very happy with myself. So it's different. It's a different thing altogether, I believe. So even though it's still like, I'm sure it's a, you know, comes from the art, you know, side of the brain. But, I really, when I started painting, it was all because of Rick Allen. When I went and saw some paintings of his on a cruise that we were on, and I was like, man, that's awesome. And I thought, you know, I want to do that. And I have a friend across the street, an art teacher, and he's like, yeah, I'll show you some things, whatever. And then that's kind of what happened. I just really wanted to kind of do something I never done before, you know. And that's really what it is. You know, I always thought, you know, do something you haven't done before, you know, and see if it's any fun. And it was, and it still is. So,
yeah, you know what's crazy? I have you and the great Rob Reiner from Anvil after you. I don't know if you know, but he's an excellent painter. He paints for many years. I'm not sure if you even knew that.
No, I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yeah, you got to check. Yeah, he's been doing it for a long time. But yeah, great stuff tonight. Got a couple more, Brian. Thank you for your time so much tonight. You know, I wanted to ask you this in a certain way. What's the Mona Lisa? What's the Mona Lisa moment so far in your career? Not personal life. What's that Mona Lisa gig? That Mona Lisa meeting this person? That Mona Lisa moment in your life as far as professionally up to this moment?
Oh, man. Wow. That's a hard question. probably just getting on stage with the Queensryche guys the first time, you know?
Yeah.
You know, like, it was April Fool's in, you know, 2017, and I thought for sure somebody was going to come out and say, you know, April Fool's, you know, you're not doing this gig. And, even though it wasn't a perfect gig for me, I only had like 8 days to learn all the stuff, so it wasn't.
Right.
But it was still like, it was like, all right, this was done in my life, you know. Just being able to step on stage with those guys. I did something a few years ago too with a bass player from Chaka Khan, which is a whole other genre of music, you know, like a funky type stuff. And he actually played with Michael Jackson and all these guys. And that was another moment, probably. Michael Thompson, which is a guitar player. We did some songs on a record. And my buddy also played on the record too, which, John Blackwell, which was Prince's drummer.
Yeah.
He passed away a couple of years ago. But anyway, he got me on that record. You know, he was the guy to get me on the record. But that was pretty cool because I was a big fan of those guys too, you know. Like, and I was like, if I can, you know, I always wanted to know, can I play with somebody like this, you know, this style or whatever. So, but, and that was one of those moments too. But yeah, but the first night with Queensryche was, you know, was pretty epic. So, well, all those nerves, man, it was a ball of nerves, you know. It was like, whew. Once that gig was over, I think I slept for 3 days.
Oh, great stuff, brother, man. I can't thank you enough, Casey, for your time, man. Where are we going soon? What's coming up in the Queensryche camp?
We have a gig at the end of the month, I believe, or I leave at the end of the month. I'm not you know, it's like when you ask somebody and they're not working, where are you going? I don't know. I am trying to look up while we're doing this, but and of course it doesn't work for a while because I'm on a phone.
You're going to be at Kansasville, Wisconsin, May 28th.
That sounds right. Yep. There you go.
Yeah. Wisconsin. You're going to be in New York. You're going to be in
Oklahoma.
By me in Madison, Wisconsin. Yeah. Oklahoma. Yes. And we got some New York and Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Casey, just I can't thank you enough, man. I'm just a huge fan. It's always great when I have the drummer for Queensryche. I've had Scott on once and you on twice. I thank you, brother, for your time. You always bring it. You're such a down-to-earth, a world-class drummer, and I always thank you so much, man, for coming on my show.
Thank you, Joe. Yeah, and you make me feel like I'm a rock star here, so it's great.
Don't forget, keep my number. If you feel sick, when I give you a call, and I'll fly out there.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right, Casey Griller, man. Casey, thanks a lot, man. Have a great night. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it.
All right, man. Have a great night.
Bye.
Great. Guys, the great Casey Griller. I mean, just down to earth. You know, I'm not sure a lot of things bother him. It just seems like nothing bothers him. You know, I hope he wasn't mad at the question about Scott. It's just a question that I think people wanted to hear. You know, I hope it never happens. And I know he doesn't. You like he said, you just never know in life. You never know what tomorrow's going to bring. And from the way it seems, it's never going to happen. And we hope it doesn't. He's just doing a great job. But I'm not sure a lot of things bother him. Just he even seems a little shy to me. A little shy, a little hesitant as far as meeting these people. But just a beautiful soul. I mean, great artwork, and his drumming is just world class. Always love when he comes on. We talk about my favorite band. Whenever I can have the drummer on for my favorite band of all time, it's a great. So we thank the great, tremendous, the world class Casey Griller for his time tonight. 563-999-3029. Get a word from our sponsor once again.
Around the Kid is sponsored by Senten Cymbals. Senten Cymbals is quickly becoming the choice for drummers worldwide. With their roots going back to the emperors of the Qing Dynasty, Senten blends the best of old world know-how with modern techniques to help all drummers find the best fit for them. Whether you're an avid drumming enthusiast or touring professional, Senten has the perfect combination of products, pricing, and service to fit any drummer's needs. Contact them today to find out what the drum love is really all about. Senten Cymbals. Forge your sound.
And now, back to Around the Kid with Joe Ganzes.
We are live, 563-999-3029. Once again, we thank the tremendous Casey Griller from Queensryche. We are halfway done in our last show on Blog Talk Radio, a bittersweet nine. Always love engaging in these great drummers. Always love when they come on and give me their time. We just had the great Casey Griller from Queensryche. He gave us a lot, you know, just great stuff from playing live, his favorite songs, and we just go back to Oklahoma with him. So we thank the great Casey Griller. We are live, 563-999-3029. You know, I'm a little kid tonight. I'm 53 years old next week, and I've been a fan of this band and this living legend for 40 years. I used to have Metal on Metal, the album cover, and we talked about it with Robbo. He was on a show a couple of times before in the past 5 years, how I had that. And tonight, once again, I'm that little kid interviewing somebody who I love and just respect playing, just a master of the metal genre. a legend. Just great stuff. We'll get to that, but the brand new album from Anvil, I think it's their 19th album, pretty much an album almost every other year, and that's hard to do. Just legends in the world of metal. Impact is imminent. A great track called Ghost Shadow with the living legend, Rob O'Reiner on drums.
And now, back to Around the Kid with Joe Ganzes.
Just sick, classic, in-your-face, fucking metal. 563-999-3029. It gives me great pleasure to welcome back the legend, I say the legend, with conviction, from Anvil, Rob O'Reiner. What is up, my brother?
What's going on, Joe, man? That sounded so fucking good. You know, that fucking snare drum, man, that's a Beverly Cosmic 21 on there, buddy.
Oh, my God. It just sounds great. The fucking feet sound great. You sound great. How you doing, Rob? Thanks for coming back on the show, man.
No problem, man. Thanks for asking me. I didn't realize that the show was back on, or has it been? I mean, I'm out of touch, right?
Yeah, no, we've been back on since January, and we're going to be starting up live on YouTube, so I'll have you on that format, on the video aspect. But how you been, bro? I got to tell you something, and you know I never bullshit. I always keep it real. This album is just it's classic Anvil. It's even mixed like classic Anvil. Talk to me about that. Impact is imminent. Congratulations on it, and give me the whole scoop. It's just it's back to the basics to me. I don't know if you agree. It's just in your face, man.
Yeah, well, how do I describe this record? COVID hit. We were on tour.
Yeah.
And we had to get off tour, just like I think we were one of the last bands out there that were still playing before they shut the world down. COVID
right.
hit. Then all we did was, okay, man, I guess let's write, you know, we got to write an album. Let's write an album. And that's what we did. And that's what Impact Imminent was. And then now we also, after we recorded the album, we wrote the next album. So the next album is sitting ready to be recorded.
Oh, man. Oh, that's
where we're
awesome.
At right now. And the direction of the songs, we've just organically been just rediscovering ourselves, I guess. If you know, that's the only way I can describe it.
Yeah.
You know, we're finding, you know, the little things about what, you know, everybody loves about Anvil, always has, and just who we really are in general. So we just kind of organically, Lips writes the riffs, you know, and he plays them for me, and then he asks me, you know, I'm kind of the scrutinizer, and he goes, what do you think, man? So like the Ghost Shadow riff, an example, when he played that, I just said, dude, man, like, that's as fucking Anvil as we're ever going to sound.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, absolutely. That's classic Anvil to me, how the double bass follows that guitar riff. That's Anvil. That's classic. I think I'm 15 years old, man. 1984, 1983, man, just great stuff. I love it.
Wait till you, I don't know if you've heard, I don't know if you've heard the whole record. You probably heard the few songs there. The record comes out next this Friday, May 20th, and there's a track on there called Gomez. There's a track on there called Gomez. It's an instrumental, and it's like metal from roll jazz, full on, man. It's like one of my favorite cuts we've done in a long time, and we're gonna make a video for it, people can really hear it. Yeah. Well, when it comes out to it, man, I think you're really think it's something else.
Oh yeah, I just love it. We are live 563-999-3029. Talk to me about, you know, you and Lips have always stayed true. You know, some bands haven't. Without mentioning names, I don't do that on the show. Some bands have took their genres just to make money. You guys are in it, man. You guys are lifers. Talk to me about the connection, that marriage with Lips over the years, and how it stayed true, and how you always managed to stay true to Anvil.
What, as in stay true to Anvil, as in the sound of that, or as me staying with the band?
Is the sound. Yeah, the sound
the
of
sound.
Anvil.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And,
well, you know what?
And,
I get it. So it's our thing is we know who we are, and it's like Motorhead. You know, Motorhead taught us everything. Lemmy was a good friend of ours, and just his philosophy on what it's all about was like a whole educational course on its own in doing, or like AC/DC. Like, you know, bands that have a sound and a style, you just keep doing that. That's what you do. People criticize, man, nothing new here. It sounds like Anvil, the same old. You know, like we hear that all the time. But that's really a good thing. You know what I mean? I don't find that as a negative. I go, that's happening, man. That's our style. You know, of course. So before you even get an Anvil record, you already know what you're getting before you hear it.
Sure, absolutely.
You don't have to speculate going, these guys going to sound like some other band or whatever, you know, or what? No, we're going to sound like Anvil. And that's, so we were able to do that, and we just do it on our own terms, you know. Is that maybe the best way to put it to you? We just stick to our own guns, you know. Lips and myself, we're like brothers from another mother, if you will. But, you know, we're in sync. We're in sync with what this is, and as the years have gone on and the records that we made, we really have discovered who we are, especially in the last 5-6 years. And our most successful records have been the last three or four records that we've done in like decades.
Right. 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 Yeah.
So
yeah, just great stuff.
And I'm kind of, you know, yeah. And I think this new record's gonna, you know, push us a little further. From what I could tell, the reviews have been great. People have heard it, love it, and the whole record just crushes. It has lots of different stuff, but it's all Anvil, and it has top notch playing. I mean, you know, what you expect from a band like us, it's
yeah.
all there. You know, if drummers want to hear cool drum licks, they're all over the place. You know what I mean?
yeah. Talk to me about that. I mean, you've been doing this a long time. I'm pretty sure you're 64 years old. Am I correct?
Yeah,
64
yeah,
now.
I just had my birthday.
Yeah. April 22nd, if I'm correct. Happy birthday. Yeah, happy belated. But, you know, is there some sort of I think we all have a little competitiveness in us. Is there some in you to keep up with these the younger guys, even though you don't have to compete with anybody? I mean, your catalog and your playing can stand the test of time. But do you look at these new guys today, and are you fans of what they're doing, and especially in the metal genre, you know, and do you want to keep up, you know? Go ahead.
Well, to be honest with you, Joe, I have no idea, because I don't follow contemporary metal bands, so I have no idea.
Okay.
My most contemporary favorite drummer is this kid right now called Grayson Nekutman. I don't know if you've heard of this kid.
Not yet.
I've been following him for a bunch of years. Yeah, you should check him out. This guy is like he's like the new Buddy Rich.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it because, like, he really emulates it. He knows the licks. He really can play, man. And I've been watching this kid since he was like an Instagram drummer or something. I don't even know who he was, and he's now become discovered. And I knew that path would happen for this kid just by the type of stuff. Metal drummers, I don't know what's going on. So I'm not really a metal guy. I play in a metal band. I do the metal thing, but I only listen to old school metal. Like, you know, I'm still a Black Sabbath guy, Uriah Heep, Deep Purple. Humble Pie. You know, I'm still like Grand Funk, whatever. So I don't follow metal. So I can't really give you an answer at all. I don't even know who's
okay. Cool.
I couldn't tell you anything. I couldn't even tell you anything. I didn't know any names. I just don't follow it.
Right.
So I don't know.
Cool. Your solos over the years have just been have been you know, legendary. When I watch your solos, I mean, I'm actually tired from that. How's the body at 64? Because, you know, we get older, things happen. Your feet are still as fast as ever and steady as ever. You know, people think someone's got fast double bass, but they got to be steady too. Yours have always been just perfect.
How is
the body at 64 years old? The arms, the back, the legs, anything, you know, going on?
To be honest with you, I still feel like I'm a 25-year-old kid physically. When I, you know, I've learned how to just pace myself. It's about pacing. It's, I don't know. I guess, you know, I still got a good tendency. I'm not sure. I haven't become that old, decrepit man yet. Thank God.
I mean,
I practice a lot, too. You know, I mean, I practice a lot, you know. On my own, you know, with just pretty well like a snare drum or just a pad. And, you know, I play out of all these old ancient drum books. You know, I just, so I'm always kind of always limber, if you will. Is that a good word for it?
Yeah,
when I play live
gig,
when I play a live gig and stuff, yeah, you sweat and stuff, but I pace myself. I guess that's the ticket. So my arms don't really hurt ever, or my back, or, you know, my back might hurt more from, like, fucking, you know, maybe moving equipment.
Right. I see you got a big tour coming up.
We're coming down to America. We got 40 shows.
Nice. And now what can we expect? I mean, of course, it's going to be the same in-your-face Anvil show. Do you work on your solos?
It is structured. You know, I've always structured my solos. There's, you know, usually three parts: beginning, middle, and end, kind of concept to a, you know, it's, I tell everybody that. I mean, that's, if you want to do a drum solo, you got to have a, you know, I don't want to call it a theme, but it has to have like a beginning and a middle and end. So, but I improvise a lot, you know, it has a structure, like I said, you know, start a little bit with, you know, whatever the grooves and blah, blah, blahs. Then the middle part, you know, get into all snare drumming and all of that technical shit, whatever. And at the end, you just build it up into some massive, you know, thundering explosion of whatever rolls. And I can't explain it. It's spontaneous.
Yeah.
Especially in my case, you know, I improvise a lot. You know, I know what I'm, I know where I want to go, but I make up shit as I go because it's how you, I play how I feel. I feel good all the time, but that's, I just play how I feel. You know, like, I might have been practicing, oh, man, I'm going to try some of those, you know, fucking four-stroke roughs, mix them with three strokes and do some transitional, you know, double paired rolls, whatever. You just, all this nonsense you're thinking is, you just make it up as you go, man. That's what I do anyways. And sometimes when I listen back, I go, man, that was really, yeah, then when you listen back, you go, listen, man, that was, you know, then I go, wow, that was really fucking cool. There's these spontaneous, absolutely, you know, combustive moments that just are like, wow, that was. So that's pretty well my solos there, you know. I try to be more of a snare drummer. I love snare drumming. I'm a Buddy Rich fanatic.
And, yeah.
I'm still trying to steal all his stuff, you know, or like let it affect my DNA.
Got to get that left. Got to get that left hand down. All that crazy left hand he had.
Yeah. I gotta go pretty fucking good, man. I figured out a lot of Buddy's stuff was is I don't want to say trick drumming. I guess why illusionary. It's very cool. It was, he only used his whole vocabulary. Really was only single, doubles, and triplets. Period. That's all. You know, and what I mean by doubles, you know, we prepared those and stuff, but that was it. That's the whole Buddy Rich school of hand. But he got it down to the point where his accents were incredibly creative, and he had the speed.
Yeah, you know, I always
like
tell
real,
people.
Like real speed.
Yeah, I know. You know, Buddy Rich was great, and you'll get this. He's great. He's great for what he did, and you just said it to me. I'm glad someone else said it. He didn't do a whole lot, like you said. He had a certain amount, but what he did was tremendous.
It's beyond influential, and it's like, I watch his videos all the time. It's like going, it's like for me, it's like going to drum school. I always pick up something, and I understand it. Play around with, you know, here at home, and I actually start going, oh, so that's really what it was. So it's, you know, two of those with three of those with, and it's the accent. You got to listen to the accent thing. That's the trick a lot of that point. And I don't hear too many guys, young guys, trying to play like that today. You know, like this one guy.
Yeah.
Grayson Nekrutman. Check out Grayson Nekrutman. He's 20 years old. He seems like a young kid. He's fucking really good, dude, man. This kid's like, this guy's got it. I like where this guy's going.
I like what you said. This guy's got it. And I think as drummers, I'm playing 40 years now. You're playing much more than that. I think as drummers, you know, we see somebody, and you can tell, you know, if this guy's got it. When did you come into that? When did a Rob Reiner say, you know what? I think I got it. You know, what age was that about?
Well, I was in my, I guess in my late 20s, maybe. I don't know, I'm not even sure. Sometimes I still don't think I got it. I'm always trying to learn new shit. But but the fundamentals, you mean, yeah, I had the fundamentals down. I think by the time I was 30, I thought I was pretty damn good then.
Yeah, absolutely. I just got...
You develop as you go.
Yeah, absolutely. We are talking live to the legend, Rob Reiner, 563-999-3029. Talk about the new album. I think it's the 19th album, and if you look back at Amble's career, you know, once you guys supposedly made it, that's an album almost every 2 years. Think about that, bro. Bands don't do that no more. I mean, in the 80s, you had bands like yourself and Maiden every other year putting an album out. you guys are still doing that. How important is that, yeah, for, you know, for you and Lips and the whole band to always give the fans, you know, what they want and need?
It's very, very important. We actually try to put out a record, actually, it's every 18 months or so. It's like a cycle. You try to stay in that cycle. What that does is you build musical momentum and you maintain and increase relevance. That's what happens with that. That's what happens. On our level, you know, if I would be nice, you know, if our kind of music would sell, you know, millions of copies, but that kind of stuff doesn't happen these days. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. It doesn't happen anymore. You know, it's a shame.
Stay on the road. So yeah, it is. But that's just how it is. But so it's a road thing. You know, bands need to be on the road playing in front of people. So to do that, I call it the Anvil thing. We got our own little cottage industry going. I've always kind of named it. It's our own little cottage industry, you know. And so we don't need the corporate guys. You know, we have our own fan base. They are very loyal. We always have new people. It seems as the years keep going on, we get more new people coming out. And so we're selling music to those people. And if you keep the musical momentum going, it's everything. It keeps your career completely valid, relevant, and alive.
Absolutely.
It's
and
like
you
a day
guys
job.
Just,
you know what I mean? Like, you know, the band is a fucking,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know, the band is our fucking day job. I don't have a day
job. Right. A world-class drummer, and I'm a huge fan of your artwork. You know, we've spoken about it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where are we at with the artwork? I mean, you know, what are you doing? I wish you would get out there. It's awesome. It is awesome.
Thank you very much. Well, I paint like crazy. When I'm not touring, that's what I do. I still paint like crazy. This whole COVID thing that happened, fuck, man, that was like, wow. Like the whole, I painted five times as much because that's all I had is time to paint. I still paint like crazy. You know, I published my own art book back a year or two ago now. It's been very successful. People love it. I'm making a volume two, actually. Hopefully it'll come out next year. I paint. That's what I do, Joe. You know, when I don't play drums, I paint. That's my thing. I love painting.
Yeah, you know, and I got to keep it real here. You know, I'm a huge fan for 40 years at your world-class drumming. I don't know what's better, your drumming or your painting. And I'm keeping it real. Your painting is that good. I see this, and I'm saying, Ramo did that? I'm like, there's no way that guy painted that. And that's a compliment. It's just great stuff. Talk to me about, you know, and we always want to talk about drumming and painting. There can't be any similarities, or can there?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question. Drumming, to me, they're different in a way. Drumming is noisy, and painting is quiet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at times, you do have to
process,
be precise.
You know? You do. Well, with painting is like, I don't know, it's expression. It's about mixing colors. There's so much to art. It's art. It's just a form of expression. You know, I'm into sharp. I like everything to kind of look real, like sharp focus. Or I'm not into hyper-realism.
Yeah.
I love it, but it's I'm not that skilled to do that. But wherever I go, wherever my art is at, that's the kind of realism I can deal with. That's how my eye sees. I like straight lines. You know, everything's got to look fucking, you know, that's just how I see. You know, I've tried to loosen up my style with the paintings over the years, but I always tighten everything up. It's like music, you know, you want to try to play, you know, keep it, you know, like a little loose, and then you always end up tightening it up a bit, you know.
I know we do things in life. We want people to like my band called Anvil. They want people to like my drumming. I'm Rob Reiner. Is it important for people to like everything you do in life? Do you need that as an artist, as a drummer, or an artist with a paintbrush in hand? Do you need people to like what you're doing for you to be happy?
Nope, I don't give a shit, and I never have. So
there
I guess
go.
That's the answer. No.
Yeah,
no,
right,
no,
right, because it,
no,
it's real.
No,
it's,
no
what,
I don't.
It's
I don't.
Feeling.
No, I don't get. No, I don't give a shit. I never have. You know, people
yeah.
like my drumming, great. If they don't like it, too, and same with the painting.
Yeah.
I please myself. If I'm happy, then that's all that fucking matters.
Yeah. Yeah. You
so
you got to be happy.
That's my point of view. Yeah, if I'm
yeah,
happy,
yeah.
don't mind me. If somebody says, "All right, man," I've had the whole deal with the drumming world. You know, I've had the greatest famous guys. You know, and a lot of them are my friends. You know, they watch you play, and and then they talk to you about this or that and the other. And some guys are in awe of what you do. Some guys are going, well, it's as good as other guys. I don't see the big deal. You know, like it doesn't matter to me. It just doesn't matter.
Right.
You've
never played. You've never played to impress.
Yeah. It's like the band. Some people dig the band. Some people don't dig the band. I've never really cared. It's not for me to care. It's just like I find it a pointless energy. It's art. Art is subjective. That's just what it is.
Absolutely.
It's not for everybody, right? It's just not for everybody. So I don't really care.
Yeah.
So that's my answer.
I love it. I love it. Call me to the legend, Robert Reiner from Amblin, 563-99 on 3029. I got a couple more, and I always thank you for your time, brother. Let's get to the tour now. Where are we going to be? Where's the first date coming up, and then also later on in the American tour?
Well, the American tour is 40 dates. It starts. I don't have the thing in front of my face here, but it starts in Massachusetts, and ends in Chicago.
Nice,
that much
nice.
I know. And we're going pretty well. We're going right around the whole country. We're not going down to Florida. This time we pick and choose, as we do these tours, we kind of pick markets. We're always finding, I'm always interested in playing in new markets in America, because face it, Joe, this is the reality. Most people have never seen Anvil live.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying?
Sure,
most people.
Sure.
They've heard the name, they might have heard some tunes, they might have seen the Anvil movie, whatever, but they've never seen the band live. So it's a lot of work to play and keep playing until everybody gets to see you once. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think the tour starts July 2nd in Providence, Rhode Island, New York, New Jersey.
No,
June.
PA.
We got,
June 1.
Right. I'm actually looking at it, and I said July. Sorry. June, and it ends the end of July in Chicago. Yeah, good stuff,
wow.
Man. Awesome stuff.
Yeah, it starts June 1, ends in July 31.
Oh, great stuff. Like almost,
we're going to hit, we're going to be playing some new places. I try to, with the agents and stuff, we try to, every tour you learn things. Okay, this was a good market, this was not so good. We've gone a few markets a few times. You go, okay, we'll go back again, we'll see, maybe it'll be better. But after, you go a few times, if it doesn't, we've got 200 people here every time, you go, okay, I guess it ain't going to get any better here, you know what I mean? And then you go to other places where, you play and it's a sellout. It's like every time you show up there, your place is sold out.
Yeah, yeah.
That's America.
Great stuff. Do you have that one moment in your career up to now? I mean, there's probably so many. Do you have that one moment, that one gig that you remember that was just special to you?
I guess if I think about it deeply, probably yes. But most of the time, they're all just a gig. It's just all like a gig, to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's just one big long, even like making records. Sometimes, you got 19 albums, but it seems like one big long record. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I see on the website it says Anvil drummer Rob Reiner added "fuck COVID." I love it.
fuck COVID. Fuck COVID. I mean, like, listen, dude, man. it's real. It exists. I mean, I just recently even had it, right? It was no big deal.
Yeah.
It came and went. It was not a problem. You know, I guess the vaccines work, but whatever. It wasn't no fucking big deal, but it exists. You know, I know a lot of people over the, you know, would say, oh man, it's all bullshit. There's no such thing as that. You know, I don't know what they're, I don't know what they're smoking, because it's real and it's always been real.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome stuff.
It's a fucking it's a cold. It's a fucking high power cold.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, we always there's drummers out there that and they have said it. They don't hide it. They have two bass drums, and I've done this on some of my sets. I have this. I use a double pedal on the instead of two pedals. Have you ever dabbled with that? Is it something you ever do? You know, the double pedal and just always play double bass.
That's blasphemous, man. You don't do that. That's fucking blasphemous. Come on, man. I know guys that do that, and right away for me, I'm already off. I walk. No, that's not even real no more. You don't set up two kick drums with a double pedal.
Sorry, man, that's blasphemous.
Against real double bass on me? Nah, not happening.
Yeah, Cool.
You'll never see me. Right.
No, I love it. The album, we just wish you great with the album and the tour, bro, and I always thank you for coming on the show and keeping it real. It's just always good to talk to you, man.
Yeah.
Like I said, going back to the...
Oh, it's great to talk to you, Joe, man. And I'm looking forward to going to put it on YouTube. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of, I've done a lot of drum podcasts, I guess they're called. These guys always like videotape them and shit. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Like you talk on Zoom or whatever, these networks, and you know, you can record them and whatever. And they're really cool.
Yeah.
There's like lots of them out there.
Yeah, we're going to be live. In next month, but I always thank you for your time. We'll look forward to you on the tour. We wish you all luck with the album, and we'll have you live with us on the live stream. Maybe after July 30th, the tour's over. Maybe in September, you come back on and give us some time.
Yeah. Anytime, Joe. Just get in touch with me. It's always a pleasure talking with you, man.
Guys, the legend, Rob Reiner. Rob, I thanks so much, man. You have a great night.
You too, buddy. Take care.
Thanks, brother. Great stuff. Yeah, like a little kid tonight. I'm back in 1982, 83. I remember Jack Hammer, all those great songs. We thank the legendary. Guys, it might be the last time right here at 7 years. It might be the last time we are talking on Blog Talk. We're most likely going to be live on a live stream in 2 weeks. We've had a great run, and I thank you all for these past 7 years, all the great guests and interviews, and we've done over 1,200 interviews, and I'm grateful for all the great many legends like Robbo, and just my God, just when they come on, I'm like a little kid. I thank you all for the last 7 years, and we're just gonna, you know, it's not the end. We're just going to a new platform. We are pumped up, and we say thank you, Blog Talk Radio. It's been great. Very, very happy for the last 7 years. I'm very proud of what we've done. I'm very proud of the material we have and the effort we've put out. We've made mistakes. My God, I've probably made a mistake in the last 5 minutes. It's okay. You live and learn from them. But always just proud of doing this show for the last 7 years and meeting new friends, you know, acquaintances. When you have a guy like Dave Weckl, who's been on your show about 10 times, who you think is the best drummer ever, and he's your friend. It's very fortunate and lucky. So we say thank you for Around the Kit. We will hope to see you guys. Check out my Facebook page, Joe Gans and Around the Kit, and John Besser will be posting a lot of stuff. We will see you guys live in 2 weeks on YouTube, and we'll send you guys all the links. Thank you so much for the last 7 years. Thanks, guys.